continue during this time to under the Emergency Act. So this is what I have to say about Southern Connecticut State University. In turn, I think we don't really have to go too much in the depth of numbers and so forth, but a huge opportunity, very, very huge opportunity. It's a dining program that provides food service all year round, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, and refreshments. It's a seven-day-a-week operation. In addition, they're required to provide services during off-peak times, during like the summer and the winter, as well as you have some students who stay on campus. This opportunity requires a level of preparation, and I think that's how I want to start this off. It requires a level of preparation in which, you know, I think we have to start to think like a bigger opportunity, a bigger entity, because we can be that. In order to take on an opportunity like this, it's preparation, and as I stated, Dave Palagi's on this call, and he can probably confirm that these opportunities just can't be received or accepted overnight. We have to position ourselves as a program to be able to take on opportunities like this. Do I believe we can? Absolutely. Do I think it's our program directly that can operate this without a teaming partner? Absolutely not. So my thoughts in reviewing the information, in which I hope all of you have reviewed, is to see that, you know, with a teaming partner, let's say like a Sodexo or so forth, this opportunity could potentially land right on our plate to provide opportunity to operators. But in order for that to happen, you know, after taking that walk, as I stated earlier, on the Coast Guard, we have to position ourselves for this. And part of that, I would really want to lean onto the committee as to starting the thought process of maybe putting a subcommittee together to maybe reach out to third-party operators, teaming partners, to, you know, kind of, I don't want to say pitch our program, but kind of, you know, make them aware of our opportunity and identify, you know, maybe good candidates that you all, the operator, not in state of Connecticut via teaming partner with a third party, but you, the operator, are eligible and allowed to team with a teaming partner, and position yourselves and our say the program to go for this opportunity. Again, this scope of business, in just reviewing the Southern Connecticut State University, this is a massive overhaul. I would almost say this is bigger than the Coast Guard, in sense of all of the responsibilities and the individual food service entities that you would also be responsible for. We did receive some additional information from the school that identified numbers in regards to Dunkin' Donuts and so forth. So essentially, I believe this opportunity would make our program, if we were, let's say, to go for this opportunity, responsible for everything in regards to the food service. But in order to do so, we really should start to have the dialogue with trying to promote and solicit, I should say, our program, because this is going to be the future. Again, when we talk about, you know, opening our minds to the possibilities, this is one of them. So I don't really want to touch too much in regards to this, and I will pass this on to you, Chairman, but I do want to say that I believe we should really, really start, or the committee should start to solicit our program, because we have a lot of life left in this program. We just have to readjust our thought process. No more small thinking. I think we need to think big and utilize this opportunity in which was set for the program.
I would agree, and I don't know if anyone else on the committee was able to read read up on this facility, but it is massive, and it's, you know, like he said, 7 days a week. I think you even have to provide dinner, and even late night dinner of some sort. Sure. Like it's like the hours are just astronomical for us to go in there and just take it over, and however long you're looking for us to go in there, even if it's September, I just don't think we can do that, but I would agree, moving forward, we would probably need to do our research so that, you know, as we say, we don't want to take these smaller operations that, you know, they're not viable for us to, you know, sustain, but the flip side of that is to go after these big monsters, but we have to be ready and prepared to do that, and I don't think we could just go in there right now and take that over, and it's almost, it would be very overwhelming for any operator to go in there alone and make that work, but I would agree we should put something together in the future, whether it be a subcommittee, to position ourselves when these opportunities arise. I just don't think we're there yet. If anyone from the committee has any thoughts about a place like this or this specific...
Well, if we were going to put a committee, to Steve Hillier, would we need a motion to do that, or how would that work?
I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of, you know, seeing who's interested in sitting on that committee. You know, I could always appoint a committee, but I would rather have people that are interested in doing that type of work. That way there, you know, not as...
One question. Do we currently have vending there?
I don't know. For some odd reason, Sherry, I'll have to check that. For some odd reason, I don't believe we do.
So, all right, even if we're not ready. So, right, first and foremost, we have to vote on waiving or accepting.
Correct. Correct.
Then moving, okay. But I think even if we don't have the concrete information, I think we should just vote on waiving the location with accepting that we keep our vending machines, and if they're not there, do we get them if they're not there? Well, like, why aren't they there?
Right. So, that's why that could be part of a pouring right thing.
That's what I was with.
Okay.
I don't know if it's part of a pouring rights agreement, whereas the vendor that gets the whole contract gets that as well. So maybe, if you were going to waive it, maybe you would use language that said, and to the extent allowable, or something like that, we would retain vending rights. That way, if it's in a foreign contract, then we know if we couldn't get it.
Yes.
Question, Brian. So, in that wording, with the what's the word that you call it? Foring? What is it called?
Foring.
There's no way we will ever get it. Does that ever expire? Does it work? How does that work? It has to go through legislation, law. What's going on with that?
Every time a contract comes up, that's why Southern Connecticut's coming to us. They're saying, you want this opportunity, you've got the first right of refusal, but here's the opportunity. And if the opportunity is everything rolled into one big package, then we're being given the opportunity to say we want this package. So I don't know in the scenario where if it's part of an overall arrangement, let's say they have to do the stadium food as well. I'm not certain. I haven't dealt, like Tyrell said, this just came out, and I did not even have a chance, unfortunately, to review it yet. But we wouldn't necessarily be able to exert a right to vending machines if it's rolled into an overall contract, like it has been with some of the other larger state universities.
Oh, okay, okay. Thank you for the clarification.
So that's why
I have this question. I know, you know, as you just explained, and Keith came and just kind of, you know, elaborated on it. We're not going to easily go for it because it's huge. But do you have an idea if we're to go in for it, or if any of party also going to, if when is it going to start?
Yeah, so here's the thing. This particular situation is different, right? Because they're still actively working. So essentially, there was a prior company that was operating this location. They withdrew because there was no profitability. Now, one has to think, even during, obviously, understanding COVID, the financial loss, but you have to, well, I'm of the opinion that essentially, if this company chose to walk away in its entirety, they were already probably in somewhat financial bind prior to COVID, and this just was kind of like the last straw. So Adexo is operating under an emergency agreement right now. So I would say if this was an opportunity for us, I would have to believe we would probably look to resume in August. But I think the one major piece that I would want to add to this conversation is the financial responsibility. So when I say we're not prepared, I really mean it from a perspective of that this cannot be operated by just an operator single-handedly looking to employ employees. This has to be ran essentially by a third-party company with capital that could even cover the expenses. Because when we talk about expenses, I would assume that you're talking huge merchandise product costs, huge labor expenses initially prior to even operating. So you have to literally team up with a company to be able to, and that company would probably really, really assess the viability of the location before they would even want to look to agree with teaming with you. So
teaming up with you, okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're talking about, and I don't know, maybe, yeah, I would just assume, I don't know, I'm probably way off, but $100,000 better of you know, of capital needed just to even start day one, right? To put all the product in what you need, all your employees, to cover all the shifts. So this is not a, you know, a bevy. This would have to be looked at like very much like the Coast Guard. And, you know, and with this Coast Guard situation, to revert back, we've been on this for several months. You know, the Coast Guard opportunity, as you all know, we've had talks starting last year. So this is why I say let's start the conversations to position ourselves and gain the confidence that we believe, you know, to move forward. So this is really, really a big deal.
Tyler, I have a question. Hey, Baji.
Yep.
This company that walked away from the Southern, were they in the middle of a contract? Is it like a 5-year contract, you know, or whatever?
They were. Based off the information we received, it sounds as though they walked out within their contract period. And Sodexo was able to kind of fill in during this time. But in order to extend the contract or maybe modify, I would assume maybe, or adjust the contract, they were, you know, looking for our agency to have discussions or reviews on first right of refusal. Yeah, so they were actually in the contract.
Okay, I was wondering if maybe like Sodexo is going to finish it out, and then like say there's like 2 years left, Sodexo finishes it, maybe we'd have the opportunity 2 years down the road. I don't know.
Right, and I think, and that's the mindset I'm under as well, is that I would believe that if it is a finish off, and I can double back for sure with the individual to find out if this is just if this is indeed completing that existing contract, or
will they a brand new one with them?
It may be new as well, because you got to think about this, guys. The investment that's required for this, you know, if it's not financially viable or worthy for this new company, like for example, I would not finish out a 1-year contract and I have to put up $50,000, $100,000 to just, you know, do a good faith favor. So I would have to believe that there must be some new extension terms that's going to allow for further, but I'm not certain, and I can definitely find.
Okay.
So can we also add that, or is that we're going to need two votes? One, to figure out the vending aspects of it, and two, to figure out if they're in the middle of a contract, do we then go in after the contract, or are they going to do a brand new one, or just too many variables?
I wouldn't make the second one a vote. I think the second one is going to be what it is. So essentially, we'll find out after the fact whether it's the completion of the first one, in which, you know, it could be, and we just don't know, that the first company, you know, maybe only made it a year and there's 4 years left, or, you know, if they're in the tail end or they got the extension. But I would say the vote for the location is probably all we would need. It with the language of the vending sites, right? But We have to keep in mind that once this comes back out, again, they'll double back with our program for first right opportunity. But, you know, the time ticks now. We've been notified of this potential opportunity, so I say as a whole, it's time to really start to work together and see if we can position ourselves. And then when this opportunity or maybe another state college comes up, we may be in a position to have companies on board that are willing to work with us and really, you know, do real business. So I would say just the first one would be sufficient for now.
Okay. Kelly, I have an answer to your question. I don't know if this was typed by Tyrell or if it was typed on the proposal we received. It's typed in red, and it says, vended, carbonated, and non-carbonated beverages are not part of this agreement. The university is currently engaged in an exclusive campus-wide beverage agreement with the Coca-Cola company for all vended and non-vended carbonated beverages. The contractor shall comply with all current and future beverage agreements that the university enters into. So, I don't know if I said that.
Yeah, I think that definitely came on the document. We'll have to work that for
Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So based on that, Shelley, it seems like they already have some other contracts in place. I guess it's maybe that language that I earlier suggested. It says, and to the extent feasible, the agency requests, the vending, rights to the vending or something, and see what they come back with. Because if you say to the extent feasible, and if it isn't feasible because they have a current contract, they say we have a current contract, so that it's not feasible.
Mm. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess we have our clear.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to make that motion?
I shall be, hereby propose that we waive Southern Connecticut State Community College or Southern Connecticut State University currently with the option of retaining the vending rights if at all possible during the facility's current contractual obligations.
Can I get a second on that?
I'll second.
All right, a motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion?
Who seconded it?
I think I heard Amos. Was that you, Amos?
Yes.
I got it in there.
Yes.
Sue, I don't know.
Yeah, so Shelley made the motion, and we'll say Amos on the second. And the motion is to waive Southern Connecticut State University and retain any rights to vending if feasible. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? And the motion carries.
Okay. All right. Okay, moving on to the agenda. Facility reopen plans update. As to date, I've had discussions with DAS. They've reached out in regards to our agency's plans to resume in some of their locations, as well as the community colleges have also reached out. So that's certainly good news that we are on the minds of several different locations. However, in order to really be able to identify what each location is going to look like in resumption, there's this one key piece of information that we all are anxiously waiting for, and that's a daily population within each of those locations. DAS is very aware of understanding how vital a daily occupancy number would be for our program. DAS in particular is also understands that some of our locations may require the dismissal of cafeterias and maybe the resumption as a micro market. This isn't anything that I brought to their attention. They actually were inquiring on Michael Market to Tracy and I on our last call, which was surprising because essentially, you know, you always think people would frown upon micro markets, but I believe this year and a half or close to of not occupying and people just actually seeing what's going on around the world and in private sectors and everything around them have identified that, you know, old business is somewhat just that old. And so things are moving fast around us. You know, it's a grab and go world. I think we've kind of essentially knew that prior to COVID, but this kind of really put the mark on doing business going forward. So I'm waiting on numbers from each of these locations in which we've discussed to be able to share with the field rep and also the operators for each individual location and kind of come up with a game plan that I think we all feel mutually comfortable with, and then be able to respond back to DAS and the community colleges on our action plan. So, again, you know, this is all about timing, and you know, we don't want to prematurely request or reach out to some agencies about resumption because I really believe if we do, we're not going to like the response we receive. So, I think we have to wait. I think it's important for some other locations that we wait, I'd say after the July period, maybe somewhere in August, to maybe do that reach out once we've observed or allowed the agency to observe what life is really like in their building and see if any of their processes that they've changed during COVID has resulted in you know, minimizing population, or if indeed they've retracted some of their adjustments and it's increased population. So it's a timing thing. I know, you know, I know there's operators that are anxious to get back into the operation. I'm certainly anxious to get you back into your operation, but I also understand there's just this thing of reality that we all have to face, unfortunately. And there's really no promises in any location at this time, and we're kind of just working our way through day to day and having good dialogue with many locations. You know, we have to keep in mind we work under the authority of, and so that essentially means that yes, we have first right opportunity into these locations. However, the authority of the building management, those that actually reside in that building, essentially have the right to say whether they want us to resume or not. So they not want us to resume, it's with the understanding that they're not looking to have anything like our offerings or fall within our offering category to be replaced. So I think that's important that you all know that, that essentially if someone is saying we no longer feel the need for your opportunity for your business establishment, it's with the mindset that they no longer are going to go that direction with offerings. It's not that they are looking to replace within our scope of business. So at that point, there is nothing we can do in turn to overstep the authority in charge's decision in regards to that. So that's why I say it's very important that we, you know, we kind of just allow agencies to figure out the new their new position, and then you know, go in and do our request. So that's where we stand with that.
Has the judicial reached out any or had any conversation?
Not as of yet, Steve. Early on, there were talks very early on, months ago, and then you know, it just kind of got shut down. I think at this time, we're kind of waiting as there's you and Amos. I know you're on the call. I don't know if you received any information as to your particular location, but we are starting to seek out some of the public occupied locations just to see if we get a feel as to when they're looking to resume, not even so much when we're looking to resume, but just when, you know, trial cases and so forth are going to resume, so we can have an idea as to when we can, you know, kind of identify hopefully our re-existence in these locations.
Thanks.
Yep. Other than that, that's all I have for updates. One other thing as well, I don't know if you all know, but the governor has acknowledged July 1 to be the resumption date for state employees back in the state office buildings. There is a slight asterisk, I believe, to date on that request, as I believe the Department of Labor Relations and the unions have to kind of finalize what a telework model looks like, and then therefore we can really identify what weekly population is to look like. But I believe July 1 still stands as to the resumption date, but there is an asterisk as to what the telework model is to look like. So we are waiting on further guidance and finalization in regard to that as well.
I have an additional thing that I just want to put under agency update. I just forwarded to Tyrell, and I'm asking him to forward to all of the vending facility managers. On Tuesday, June 29th, we're offering a seminar on how to identify scammers and avoid scammers. We've arranged for Faye Griffith Smith, Associate Extension Educator at UConn Extension Financial Education Program, to provide this training, and we think that it's, you know, pretty important to help you know, folks, our clients and our vending facility managers, to kind of recognize all those scam calls that are coming and all the different strategies they use. So Tyrell will send that off to all the vending facility managers. Like I said, I just forwarded it to him a few moments ago.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Okay, so I think by July 1 update, as far as state employees, covers the agency update. Therefore, I think we can move right along to open forum.
This is
Hi,
Brian.
Go ahead, Brian. I think that was you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted folks to know that I've announced my retirement. I'm retiring October 1st. Thank you.
Sorry to see you go.
Oh, wow.
Woohoo! Wow, Brian.
Right.
That's a big one.
Congratulations, I guess, are in order.
Thank you.
Oh, and yeah, congratulations. Right. How awesome.
Oh, Brian,
you.
Congratulations that you integral part of the pro. Wow. Yeah.
Well,
you were awesome.
Wow.
I thank you. I think most of you know that I have a very significantly disabled son, and I really need to direct my full energies in that direction. So, it was not an easy decision to come to, but it's what's best for my family. So, but thank you all.
Good for you. Thank you.
Thank you for all
your years of help.
Yeah.
Yes.
Service. Yeah. Wait. So, do you get your own declaration too?
Do I get my own what?
Your own declaration from the governor or the agency? Isn't that what you kind of hand out when people leave the agency? Don't you do a little declaration? Certification
yeah.
thing. So you get your own. Do you write your own? Do you write your own, or can we write?
No.
Do we need a committee?
Yeah. Can we write your declaration of service?
Make a motion.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is my last committee meeting. I did announce it to the staff and we're having a various group meet in the month of June. I'm telling each of the groups, and you guys, you know, on June 1st, so you're the first of the organization, the advisory groups that I inform, but I am going to be informing all them at their meetings in June. Wow, well, all the best to you. Yeah, all the best, Brian. Thank you very much.
Very bittersweet, but you know, your family, like you said, your family need you. We've had you, and now you're going back home. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank Thank you.
Brian, it was very nice to know you, you know? You're a great man.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Not quite yet, but...